it was a trail here, and we just improved it. But there was a road going around, and it would take 20 minutes to get out here. So now it takes two.
Along the road, several earth movers and trucks are taking advantage of the warm, dry December day to keep improving the road, which will serve as the main route from the village to the plant. I asked why the state wasn't building the road for the village.
We did it ourselves because if we waited for the state or the government to help us out, it would take too long. We wouldn't be able to get our processing plant done in time.
That attitude, not always commonplace elsewhere, is ubiquitous in Port Hyden. Every able-bodied person is a trained hazwoper and able to work on the lucrative Air Force cleanup projects nearby. There are windmills popping up on houses. When the sea began to claim two giant old fuel holding tanks too close to the eroding shore, a few people built a trailer, raised them up, and hauled them out. Hazwoppers cleaned them, and now one has been recycled as a hangar and the other as the new village recycling depot. Christensen and many others in Port Hyden are not shy about their go-get-em attitude.
We're basically left to ourselves. If we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for us.
When we arrive at the new fish processing plant, which has been built out of an old boat storage facility, we find more young people hard at work. Christensen says they're making some more progress than expected.
The weather's been good, so we've been able to pour cement for a long time. We're going to be done by springtime.
We step in to look at the new facility, which is large and so far pretty bare.
All right, now we're inside. What are we looking at here?
We're renovating this boathouse, turning it into our CAS fish processing plant. We added on a 60 by 60 hangar, and then we're going to add on another building.
The key word in his statement is CAS, or CAS, which stands for Cells Alive System. It's a brand of freezers developed in Japan which purport to keep food frozen without destroying the cells from the outside in, as in no freezer burned fish. The inventor, Norio Owada, was dubbed Mr. Freeze by Forbes magazine in 2008, and his freezers, which use a magnetic field and apparently other proprietary techniques, are finding their way to restaurants, processors, and hospitals around the world. Owada claims his freezers at the right setting can preserve almost anything and keep it fresh as the day it was frozen for years, even traditionally hard-to-freeze products like milk and cream, fruits and vegetables, and even human tissue and organs. Christensen tells me that several from Port Hyden made the trip to visit Owada in Japan this year, and that the 70-year-old Japanese inventor came to Port Hyden as well. They say Owada sees CAS as the future of preserving salmon, and also that he hopes it could be a means to a brighter economic future for villages like Port Hyden. When they visited, Christensen says they sampled a sea bass that had been frozen for 5 years, and he says it tasted as fresh as one that had just been caught that day. He says it seemed too good to be true, and he might be skeptical if he hadn't seen it with his own eyes and tasted various samples himself.
Mr. Owada, Norio Owada, he's been working on this for 30 to 40 years. We went to Japan and met up with him at his laboratory, and we were very excited about the vegetables, because the vegetables, you could freeze them and then unthaw them, then they're not soggy, they're still crisp. Then he was happy that we were happy about the vegetables and not about money.
Using this CAS freezer, which they hope to take delivery of in the spring, Christensen hopes to see the 5 or 6 permit holders deliver the majority of their catch to be processed at the village plant next year. They are working to develop markets in Japan for now, where consumers may want the whole fish, head, guts, and all. Right now, they're hoping to process and deliver somewhere between 1 and 500,000 pounds of sockeye in 2015. That's a modest goal for the first year, and they see a lot of hurdles to cross between now and then, but they're already getting excited about the longer-term goals.
This is just a start. Our plan here is to, this is the pilot project. After we do this, we'll be able to get funding to put one in every village.
They think that a CAS freezer would allow more villages to process their own catch, perhaps even thawing the catch after the season slows, processing it further, and refreezing it before shipping to market. It's ambitious, but they and a lot of others are hoping for success. Christensen then drove me out to another village project. We stopped along the gate of a giant new corral assembled this past fall, which is waiting on delivery of 64 reindeer from Stebbins and St. Michael in the weeks ahead.
They'll come in one end and then get castrated, tagged, inoculated, and then out the other end and so it shouldn't be a problem with bringing predators into town.
That Port Hyden is embarking on reindeer herding, a practice that was dropped circa 1940 for a variety of reasons, has drawn the attention of many, and not all positive. Fish and Game is leery of problems of reindeer and caribou mixing or competing for resources. Fish and Wildlife and the National Park Service are fairly confident these reindeer will migrate onto nearby federal lands. For those in Port Hyden, who haven't been allowed to hunt caribou for a decade, they say the reindeer represent not just a potential economic boom, i.e. butchering and processing and cast freezing the product for sale to market, but also a meat source for those in the village.
But we want to keep some around, so just in case anything happens, we'd have food security. Because it's a big issue everywhere, because a lot of places, they don't have their own source of food. Everybody got to bring something in.
Christensen points out towards the nearby peaks, which he says are on federal lands, and suggests that trained herders will keep the reindeer this side of those peaks on village and state lands. I ask if he's concerned about the pushback from state and federal officials.
Well, I don't see them out here feeding us. And they don't come down here to check on us. We're pretty much left to our own devices.
The village will need permits if they let reindeer out of the corral to graze on state and village lands in the vicinity. He admits that some state officials are expressing skepticism about this ambitious undertaking.
Some of them are kind of concerned, but we'll just have to talk about that when the reindeer are here.
He says they expect to take possession of those reindeer in the weeks ahead. Crates have been built and a plane has been chartered, and the 64 reindeer have been purchased. Now they're waiting on herders in Stebbins and St. Michael to round them up and prepare them for transport. These two projects and a host of smaller ones are Port Hyden's way of drafting their own future, bucking the trend of standing by and watching the village fold up as numbers dwindle, permits disappear, and schools close.
Yeah, we're the place that I've always been, just like what BBNC says. And we want to always will be here. I don't want to go away.